What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast. I am your host, Sean Kane. Happy to be back here on a wonderful Wednesday, March 22nd. Of course, this is the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the slate to come on FanDuel. Man, what a night last night. The crazy nights of NBA in the March continue. I mean, it really was strange. You have Boogie going for 72 as the slate's top scorer. No one saw that. Pace down situation with Memphis, rock solid front court defense. Anthony Davis taking more attempts, getting a higher usage rate recently than Boogie, but Boogie explodes for 60. I had no idea. No idea. He was at best a tournament, you know, GPP option only for pretty much anyone who rostered him, and 72 points probably won some people some serious money if you took that risk. And Jimmy and DeMar overtime, both going to 64 points, absolutely bananas that Toronto comes back in that game. I'm watching it, and going into the seventh minute of the fourth quarter, Bulls are up by 11. The fight, the Robin Lopez, Serge Ibaka fight was real, throwing hands. No love between those teams for sure. No love at all. And shout out, I mean, Toronto protecting the North there with the comeback win. That's a big one for them. They needed that confidence booster. Dropping that game to Chicago at home would have been a hard pill to swallow. Milwaukee also pulling out the close one in Portland. That was an important game. Didn't score as many points as Vegas had expected. And then Brooklyn with the win over Detroit. I can't tell if that's a Brooklyn headed in the right direction situation or a Detroit struggling situation. Probably a little bit of both. But, you know, it was one of those nights, honestly, where if you had one of those guys, you were probably okay. If you had a Jimmy, if you had a DeRozan, if you had a Dame with 54, one of the top scorers on the night, if you had a Dame, you were okay. But gosh, man, really, like, tough night if you didn't have any of them. Goran Dragic falls flat on his face. Mike Conley falls flat on his face. A lot of guys, Big Sauce ruled out, which was just absolutely insane that no word of anywhere in any reports, any kind, no whispers that not even Alan Williams held out the shoot around today. Not even that. Nothing. Just absolutely ridiculous that wasn't even close to reported. Saw a bunch of real question marks from some fantasy sharps and fantasy pros being like, the Phoenix beat writers are just bad. And that, you know what? I know we talked about Williams on the show. Guys, I'm really sorry. I can't predict that, but like, I feel bad because people rostered him via our advice, but we have no idea why that no one said anything about it. Anyway, Clippers end up playing. Okay. Makes sense, kind of. It was a 50. It was a coin toss, to be honest with you. I'm going to talk about that in lineup review in a little bit. It was a coin toss because there was a press release where one of the reporters asked Doc about resting players on Monday. And he was like, well, it's not really their choice. It's my choice. I'm going to do what's best for the team. We have to make a playoff run. Well, that article gets circulated around. This is their third game in 4 days that they've played. And none of the guys had rested in any of those games. And then you add to that the upcoming schedule has Dallas and Utah, two games that they really need in the Western Conference, specifically the Utah game. Honestly, it was a coin toss. And I ended up at the end of the night saying, I'm just not going to play with that fire. Combination of blowout, combination of possible rest. And it didn't hurt me because Blake kind of didn't really do anything. And DeAndre did 29. And you know what? Chris Paul played well. He had 42, but that wasn't a game breaker if you didn't roster that. Would have been nice to get some news. Yeah, it would have been really nice. Hey, before we go much further, some shout outs, not only to some big wins from people last night, but more importantly, the Patreon. If you haven't gotten into the cheat sheet, do yourself a favor. It's a great resource. You know, it's not the Bible. It's not guaranteed to get you right. It's not the fantasy gospel, but what it is, and you know, I think Bill mentioned this on, he's a cheat sheet subscriber, listens to the pod. Bill, thank you, by the way. It's the confidence builder. And when you're building your own lines and you're using it as a reference sheet and you're saying, I like this player. I like this player. Let's cross-reference it and see if that's, you know, with the podcast, with my own research, with the cheat sheet. Okay, that aligns. I think we're in a good position to own this player tonight. And that kind of thing, that's what it's there for, right? It's the reference point to say, it's a touch point for you to say. And the thing that I like about it is that it's human, right? It's not the algorithm. It's not RotoGrinders and Fantasy Labs models that are saying this player will definitely score points because of, you know, all of these, you know, objective models. Yes, we look at models. Sometimes we're looking at projections, but for the most part, me, Josh, Spectre, KG, we're analyzing players, we're analyzing prices, we're analyzing the position that they're in to succeed. We're taking into account everything, and that's kind of what you have the advantage with the cheat sheet. So, excuse me, the link is in the show notes. For iTunes subscribers, you see in the show notes, there's a Patreon link, patreon.com/lineuplogic. It's on Twitter. It's $10 a month. You get access to it each month for $10. And it's live updated throughout the day. And it's a really pretty good reference sheet. So I want to quickly, first of all, say thank you to the new to new patrons. Added a bunch of people in the last 2 days, so pardon me for listing these people, but thank you to Anthony, David, Nick, Baraka, Aman, Ruben, Laz, Mark, Scott. Scott, glad you got cash last night, by the way. Esteban, Robert, EC, Rondell, John Baker, Chris Camiolo. Obviously, I'm talking to Chris on Twitter all the time, so you may see him out there. Good follow. Marco, the general. Thomas, Sean Brown, and Santi. Santiago, Ed Kowalski, talking to Ed all the time. Keith, guys, it means a lot to the show. You know, I mean, it's helpful to me because, you know, we're able to now think about what we're going to do next, right? I don't have to worry about going backwards for, you know, the budget of what I've done. I can think about what's next, and that's huge. And I hope it helps you guys. Some guys have had huge numbers and huge results with the help of the cheat sheet. So I appreciate it very, very, very much. But let's get on with the show, right? We got a big night to cover here. Wednesday night slate, always a good night in the NBA. We're going to talk spreads. We'll talk injury news. I'm also going to talk rest and blowout candidates, tank candidates. I'm going to start to mention that in the game breakdown. If somebody's a rest candidate, I'll bring it up. If this is a blowout candidate or a tanking situation, then I'm going to talk about that because we need to know those kinds of things. But before we do that, let's recap the previous day's lineup and see what lessons we can learn. One of these nights. Okay, so personally, I wanted to be on Clippers all day, to be honest with you. I wanted to be on Clippers. I ended up building a lineup, though, that did not have Clippers. And I ended up just basically, honestly, just covering my own tail with by hitting my 50-50s. Didn't hit anything but my 50-50s. But I think that there's always a bankroll management lesson in that. And one thing I want, you know, I've said this to a number of people. I don't know if I've talked about this on the pod, but let's say you're allocating $10 on a night because it's a nice round number, right? $10 on the night. If you are putting 60% of that money into 50-50s, then you are going to cover your buy-ins. So if at the minimum you hit your 50-50 as that first, you know, kind of tier of scoring, then you will always come out even, right? Always come out even. But the likelihood that you hit your 50-50s, you then add in multipliers on top of that. So maybe you add, let's say you're playing that $10 model, $6 and 50-50. So you could either go, you know, $3, $2 or a 5 and a 1, whatever you want to do. And then you add $4 in multipliers or $4 in GPPs. Now, what I like to do is build up slowly personally. So I will take my exposure. I'll take a little bit of exposure to some double up, maybe some triple doubles, and then some quins, and then maybe some GPP all the way up. Small and smaller as I go, right? So if I take a, you know, again, sticking with that $10 model, $6 and 50-50s, I'll take $2 in double ups, and then maybe some $1 GPPs. Right, some $1 GPPs, and differentiate and finding, you know, games based on percentages, right? Because we know that GPPs, there are GPPs where top 12% cash, there are GPPs where top 20% cash. We know there are GPPs where top, 30% cash. There are multipliers. The multipliers, quins, it's top 20%. Triples, it's top 30. Doubles, it's top 40. You know, so if you know these things going in, the triple doubles, 35%, if you know these things going in, then you can slowly but surely build up your exposure to those games in limited amounts. That's what I do. I mean, and so, okay, last night I didn't cash any of my multipliers or GPPs, but I cash my 50-50s and I walk away, live another day. It's a good way to deal with March because March is crazy. The other hedging strategy, check out DFS Chats, Josh. Josh's podcast. He's got a great hedging episode about how he builds hedging lineups and how he builds three lines and how he allocates those lines. It has, if you have a little bit of a larger, if you're not a one lineup person, I'm a one lineup person, but if that's that's a really good way to go. Okay, so I ended up with, I wanted Clippers. I didn't end up with Clippers. I'm sorry, this is a long open here. I had Chris Paul and Goran Dragic. In order to get off of the Clippers, I pivoted over to Dame. Same exact price. And actually, that really worked out well. But it was a last-minute decision. I was just like, you know what? I just don't feel safe. I don't want to rebuild the rest of the lineup. Boom. Go. Goran falls flat on his face. Real bummer. Really, really not happy with his performance. Just, it was kind of a dull first half for him. The first half was really pretty poor. 7 points in the first half. He comes back in the second half and performs much better, you know, 17 fantasy points in the second half. But it just was, Miami kind of ran away with that game. They were always in control. Goran didn't really have to flex. They were in control by 10 to 20 points the entire time. So, you know, not a great game from Dragic. Really was hoping for more. When the Giannis news broke, I got on Giannis. I was originally on Clay and McCollum, which wouldn't have been bad, but I got on to Giannis and KCP because I really like the idea of Giannis going up against the front court in Portland. And it worked out okay. He only went 4X, but he was only 7% owned, so that was nice to have him. KCP did great work against Brooklyn, had a nice bounce back game. Matt Barnes and Marcus Morris, meh. I really could have done more. I wish I had more from Matt Barnes, and honestly wish I had found the money somewhere to pay up and get to Brandon Ingram, who had a really nice game. And Brandon Ingram, by the way, trending up, really figuring this whole NBA thing out and getting a lot of minutes. So it's not just like, oh, Brandon Ingram's a value play, he's a rookie thing. It's now a Brandon Ingram is a legitimate play, and he's going to be in the 5Ks probably next slate. Matt Barnes, not much, but Golden State and firmly in control of that game the whole time, really. Marcus Morris, meh, 4X. James Johnson, dude. Oh, the heartbreak. Oh, the things that could have been. Just played badly. Him and Goran on the first unit just played badly. 14 points. Just such a bust. The nice thing is this, guys. It's going to knock his price down. And he's still in play, and hopefully he'll chase off ownership. But, guys, he's still a great player. You know, trust the process there. That's process over results. James Johnson is a good basketball player. So we'll go back to him soon. Tobias Harris makes up for it, though. 41 points. Absolutely excellent performance from him. He's honestly becoming one of the most reliable options on Detroit, and I think Van Gundy gets that, so he's getting plenty of run, plenty of usage. Nurk nails value. Nurk didn't really do a ton, you know, compared to some of the high-priced centers who really crushed, but Nurk nailed value at 33.3, and at 6'7", that's 5X on the nose. So very happy with Nurk there to go 5X. Got to take that in your cash games, you know. No, it's not GPP winning, but you take it. You take 5X all day, man. You take that all day. So, you know, it worked out. But I think that there's definitely some lessons to learn from last night. And here's a couple things. One, on rest, it's better to be safe than sorry, correct? So make sure that if you build a lineup where there's rest candidates in it, highly ranked teams with guys who are veterans. The LeBrons, the Chris Pauls, the, you know, those guys. Make sure that you have a lineup that it has, that you can comfortably keep the core, but pivot off of those guys. Not restructuring the whole lineup, but pivot off with 2, 3, 4 changes, right? That's kind of what you have to be able to do. And then what you can do is you can compare and you can say, do I know if they're going to rest? If I know they're going to rest, then okay, boom, I'll pivot over to my other lineup. If I'm scared that they're going to rest, then I can pivot over to my other lineup. And that's what I did last night, right? So that's one thing. Two, game targeting. We have to target games now. There were games that were absolute fantasy duds. Golden State, Dallas, absolute fantasy dud last night. The games that you wanted to be on were Toronto, Chicago, Portland, Milwaukee, and then the Lakers and the Clippers, to be honest with you. You know, you wanted the right exposure to those games, but Julius Randle and Brandon Ingram played really well. Chris Paul had 42, just below value. He was good. You know, you want to target the right games. In the way that we're targeting games, if you think, what did Toronto, Chicago have in common? Competitive, high-talent teams that are fighting for playoff seating in the bottom half there. And Vegas represented that in their spreads. Very tight spreads for both of those games. So keep an eye on that. That's when you want to target those games, those extra minutes for your studs. Whereas, you know, Golden State, Draymond, you know, didn't do anything in that game because he didn't have to. Because it was a dud, you know, and you get blowouts and stuff like that. You don't want to target those games. You be cautious about your exposure. And if you were overweight on Toronto, Chicago, if you were overweight on Portland, Milwaukee, you were okay. The other thing, trying to predict outlier performances can't happen. So you got to trust your process over those results. If you're looking at the going, God, why wasn't I on Boogie? Or why did I play Goran Dragic? You played him for the right reasons. And you cannot predict that Boogie goes for 72 in that spot. I don't care who's, if someone says they can predict it, I'd love to know why and how. You know, and if you did it, then I'm very happy for you. I'm very proud of you. That was great instinct. Awesome. But you could predict something like DeRozan and Jimmy going ham. You know, it's more unlikely, but there's two things working there. You have a stud who's isolated with high usage. You have competitive matchup history. You have a tight spread in a competitive game. You have two players with massive ceilings. You know, there are ways to predict those kinds of things, but for bad luck like Goran Dragic and Mike Conley, for guys like James Johnson, you can't predict that. You have to trust your process and say, you know what, from a process perspective, those were good selections, just bad results. That's just bad luck. So process over results, you know, that's the last thing, right? We've got to trust our process over our results, you know, and make sure if you win or if you lose, you look back and you go, what worked, what didn't work? Which players did I pick? Why? Am I targeting the right players? Am I targeting the right situations, the right teams, the right games? Am I clearly forcing studs in to my lineup that are only going 4X? Or am I forcing value plays because everybody's talking about them and they seem sexy? And I should just, you know what, not take the extra value play and maybe pay for mid-tier guys. You know, are you playing the wrong contests? Are you overloading yourself on multipliers or GPPs that are just so much more difficult to cash than things like head-to-heads or 50-50s? You have to ask yourself these questions. So, anyway, that's a lot of information. So let's jump into the games tonight. Okay, good setup tonight on a Wednesday night. Always have nice games. Charlotte at Orlando, 208 total here, or Charlotte favored by 5 on the road. Charlotte crushes Orlando this year, by the way. I'm going to talk about that, but they are absolutely destroying them these days. We are keeping an eye on MKG. He did an ankle in the Atlanta game. It'd be nice to have him out. He'd give a usage bump to the rest of the Charlotte first unit. So we'll see. Other than that, no serious injuries. Vooch will play, which is actually part of the consideration. You know, Charlotte blew Orlando out last time, but Vooch didn't play. So maybe this game will be a little bit closer. I'd love to see that line move to 4, and then I'd be like, okay, let's go get some exposure to that game. Indiana at Boston, 207 total here. Boston favored by 7. You know, Boston still in that 2 spot. This should be a good another W for them to get. No serious injuries to consider here at all. I don't know how much I like this game, to be honest with you. The pricing for guys is meh. You know, Paul George priced up, Jeff Teague priced up, Isaiah Thomas priced down, who I could see as a GPP target. But I don't know how much I like this game. You know, these are two of the lower totals on the night. I just don't know necessarily how much exposure you need to these low total Eastern Conference games, to be honest with you. Detroit at Chicago, 200 point total here. This is a really important game. This will be a competitive game where starters get minutes. Now that means different things in Detroit and Chicago. But only a 200 point total here, and Detroit favored by 2 on the road. You know, Detroit blew Chicago out a couple weeks ago, or a week ago. You know, the fourth quarter down the stretch, Bulls just looked absolutely terrible, like not like they did last night. You know, Rondo, I think, adds an element to that team that they need. They need someone to distribute to their shooters. You know, that starting lineup last night was really interesting for the Bulls. Rondo at the 1, Jimmy at the 2, and then Zipser and Mirotić at the 3 and the 4. Now, really, Zipser and Mirotić are almost the exact same player. Long 3-point shooters with range who can get to the rim. Interesting. And then Rolo. Now, we're not going to have Rolo. He's going to be suspended because of that fight. So we could have no Cristiano Felicio because he hurt his tailbone, which means that you're pretty much only going to get Bobby Portis and Joffrey. Joffrey. King Joffrey Laverne. So King Joffrey, maybe he's got a nice haircut though. He's got slick hair, dude. Joffrey Laverne, another Frenchman taking over here. He's not quite Rudy Gobert though. Maybe he needs to get out there this summer and do some training with Rudy. No injuries on the Detroit side, but of course the who the fuck is the point guard saga continues. Reggie Jackson, 11 points. Ish Smith, guess how many he had? 36. Good gracious, Van Gundy. Just give one of them the job. Their mothers are probably freaking out. Anyway, honestly, the most trustworthy assets on the Pistons are Tobias Harris and Drummond. And KCP for minutes, but not for scoring. Philadelphia at OKC, 218 total here. OKC favored by 11. Regression is real. Hashtag Russell Westbrook. So many injuries on the Philadelphia side. It's unbelievable. You know you're going to get some extra run for Rashawn Holmes. Obviously, we're looking at Okafor with a game time tag. Who knows what he's going to do with that knee? I don't know. I don't care. It's not like I'm going to play him. gosh, Steven Adams is so cheap. It's so sexy. At 4,900, yikes. Even though he's played terribly. He's still very, very attractive man. And if you have not watched, I've been tweeting out the retweeting the videos of Enos Kanter and Steven Adams, the Mustachio Brothers. Oh my God. They are like the best. They really are. They're hilarious. Atlanta at Washington, 214 total in this one. Washington favored by 7. Washington blew out the Hawks last time that they played, 25 plus points. And guess who isn't playing tonight? Paul Millsap. And guess who just got blown out by the Hornets when Paul Millsap didn't play? Oh, the Hawks. The Hawks are kind of rough without Millsap, dude. Hurry back, Millsap, because they don't really have any scorers. It's Schroeder and Hardaway. That's it. See, we can ask Dwight to score 25 points a game. Oh, no, we can't ask Dwight. Well, then maybe we should hand the reins over to Thabo Sefolosha. Goodness. Torian Prince. Oh, Torian Prince birthday narrative, by the way. Ooh, interesting. But anyway, Wiz, here, some nicely priced Wizards. But I don't know. I mean, you know, I think you got to take your exposure to Wizards guards with caution because of the blowout risk here. Washington needs a win. They're at home where they're extremely good, and they could absolutely destroy a banged up Hawks team and just kind of move on. Cleveland, Denver, 227 total here. Cleveland favored by 3. Be overweight on this game. Be overweight on this game. This is high scoring, low defense affair. If you were overweight on Rockets Nuggets the other night, what happened? You were cash, right? This is going to be a similar situation. This is two teams that don't play great defense. They play at a high pace. Cleveland on the road, it would be a little bit more scary if they were at home for Denver people. Denver, but Cleveland on the road, I like it a lot. We are worried from an injury perspective about Tristan Thompson, who busted his teeth, which of course was what cost me in that Lakers game, because he could have stayed in that Lakers game. And really, really gotten helped me out on Sunday night. Would have been nice. But what are you going to do? You know, and that's pretty much it from the Cavs side that we actually care about. Darren Williams, Kyle Korver, and Kay Felder are all kind of questionable. Denver, though, we're on Gallinari Chandler watch. Don't know. Guys, I don't know what their statuses are right now. They're questionable as of yesterday. So we'll see what they get today at Shoot Around. We'll figure it out with the groin and the knee and the three and the four and the who plays what and who starts and why does Danilo Gallinari have a terrible mohawk that makes him look like a 14-year-old in the year 2008. I don't get it. Milwaukee at Sacramento, 200-point total here. Milwaukee favored by 4, but geez, pace down. Sacramento full-on tank mode. So take your Sacramento exposure very, very carefully, especially to guards. Guys like Tyreke Evans, you know, they're sitting guys like, they're resting guys. Guys like Aaron Aflalo and Ben McLemore and guys who they know they're going to, you know, have next year on the roster in order to give, you know, guys like Buddy Hield and, you know, some of these other young guns some serious run. Scalabassier. So, you know, interesting game, though. Late hammer candidate. And then, of course, the Knicks at the Jazz. Oh, God. These teams have reverse records. the Knicks are 27-43 and the Jazz are 43-28. So the Jazz have as many wins as the Knicks have losses. The Knicks are really bad. 202 total here and Utah favored by 10. I don't need exposure to this game unless you are really cheap. And here's what I really hope. here's what I'm hopeful for. I hope we get no Derek Favors, and I hope we get no Rodney Hood. If we get that, then I can have some Joe Johnson exposure and some Joe Ingles exposure, who I really like in that situation. But a priced up Gordon Hayward, a priced up Rudy Gobert, a priced up George Hill, and a bad Knicks team against an excellent defense, not interested that much. I will take very, very minimal exposure to that game. So if you're listening carefully, the games that we want exposure to that could end up being interesting: Philly, OKC, Detroit, Chicago, because it's competitive. Okay. Indiana, Boston with here's the tread lightly games: Charlotte, Orlando, Indiana, Boston, and Atlanta, Washington. Those are the tread lightly games. Those are the, I don't know what's going to happen here. So you want maybe one player in that game who's in a good situation. But the game that you want to be overweight on is Cleveland, Denver. No question. And we'll talk about some players that you can have from that. And once we get injury news, then we'll know a lot more about where we can take our exposure. And if you want exposure to late games, I think you go Milwaukee, Sacramento. Much more viable. Milwaukee continuing to fight for W's to keep their playoff hopes alive in the East. While they're going to have, you know, Detroit and Chicago battling it out. You know, they get a tough, tough win there last night to get themselves secure in the standings while Detroit takes the L. So, you know, Milwaukee wants this win, and they're going to go get this win. No question in my mind. So, that's what we got for the games. Let's move on to the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? Okay, so let's go into the player pool here. We're going to start at the top with the lock and load segment. This is where we figure out which studs we want. Where do we want to spend our money? And of course, at the top of the slate, at the top of the top, you have our man, Russell Westbrook, getting Philadelphia at 13K. Now, my hope is that people are scared off of him at this price, and given the fact that they got burned the other day. I don't necessarily see that happening again. In fact, I did a little research about Russ in the bounce back narrative here. But before we get into that, 114 implied team total. It's the second highest on the slate. Mediocre DVP. Philadelphia very average against the center, average defensive efficiency. So onto the regression here, because I think that that's what people need to know, right? Is Russ going to be Russ in this game? Well, it is I think there is blowout concern in this one, right? But Philadelphia playing pretty well recently. I think you'll at least get three plus quarters of them. You know, they hung with guys like Golden State. They're a competitive team. I think that that's, you know, we haven't seen them get blown out very easily. They don't just roll over and die, which is, you know, props to Brett Brown. but here's the regression research on Russ. Okay, he's had four separate instances in the season in which, you know, that he scores 40 or below, and then bounces back up to above 60 in the next game. Now, the most recent occurrences of this were he scores 48 against the Mavs, okay, which for his price was not a good outcome. And then he bounces back and he scores 79 against the Blazers. Remember that? Yes, I do. I think because I wasn't on him that night. And then he has 29 against the Wizards. He bounces back and he scores 74 against the Knicks. Now, obviously, these are outliers, but I think that what we can expect is one, Russ is not going to flop at Philadelphia. What you have in both of these situations is a decent defense containing Russ, Golden State, the exact same, and then a below average, the average defense, and Russ has his way with them in order to get right in those games. So, you know, I think that it's a 60 burger for Russ tonight. You know, straight up, I think that's easy. I think he can do that in, you know, he can do that in 32 minutes of action, you know, especially if Philadelphia keeps this close. They're allowing the second most points to guards on the slate and the most rebounds to guards on the slate, which is interesting. You know, obviously there's two very viable pivots on this slate. However, it's John Wall getting Atlanta and Dennis Schroeder. But if you think about this, like John Wall, first of all, John Wall hasn't really paid off this 10K price tag in a while. You know, he's a 33, 37, 46, 46. You know, the last time he paid it off was against Portland and he got 40 minutes there. It was on that road trip when he was paying it off and they had all those overtime games, those extra minutes games. You got to start to wonder if Wall's legs are feeling it, man. You really do. You start to wonder if his legs are just not quite there. The scoring isn't quite there. And, you know, he's back in the Eastern Conference, which people know how to play him. They know where he's at this season. I wonder if his legs aren't with him right now. And he just kind of needs to slow down before the playoffs. So 10K for John Wall and a possible blowout with no Millsap. I see 40 from him, but I don't really see a ton more than that. However, Kyrie getting Denver is interesting. Of course, we know how bad Denver is against the point guard, and we also know how bad LA is against the point guard, and we know that Kyrie scored 49 fantasy points there. Kyrie in pace-up games, really, really, really nice. I mean, yeah, Kyrie in a pace-up situation, a plus matchup, yeah, that's kind of exactly where you want him to be. You know, usually you prefer him at home, but he's actually had a couple of really nice games against, you know, on the road recently. And versus Denver earlier this year, he had 40. So I think that Kyrie is absolutely in play if you don't want to go with Russ. But, you know, it's Russ. But if you pick Russ, you just say, I'm going Russ, and then I'll build everybody else. But if you don't pick Russ and you want to pick another stud, if you want maybe some Bron or something like that, or you want to get in Kyrie, I don't know how you get Russ and Kyrie in there. That's $22,000 right off the bat. And let's see, if you roster both of them, you're spending $5,400 on the rest of your positions. That's a little restrictive, my friend. So anyway, that's point guard. But you never feel bad about Russell Westbrook. Why would you? At shooting guard, it's Giannis at 10K. This is a juicy price for Giannis. Okay, plus matchup here. Usually, I really like Giannis in high totals and high pace. And this is not a high total. This is not a high pace. Sacramento plays pretty slow. You know, but he's playing this kind of combination 3-4 for the Bucks. What we have to see is this, is that Sacramento is just bottom five in a lot of categories in defensively right now. Bottom five in true shooting percentage, effective field goal percentage, two-point percentage allowed. Bottom five in uncontested shot rate. They're allowing more rebounds than ever. They're bottom 10 in league in rebounding rate, defensive rebounding rate. I mean, I think the advantage is that always you're going to have Giannis low owned with a slate with Russ and LeBron. You do have an ownership advantage with Giannis, okay? And the price. You know, the difficulty is that if you know what you want from Giannis, you know the situation you want is you want him in not only a plus matchup but a plus pace situation, right? Or he's just more likely to get you 40. So the same situation as John Wall. Yeah, you're going to get 40 out of him here, but the last time he really blew up was against New York, and that's a terrible defensive team that also plays at a pretty high pace, you know? It's challenging because he is a massive range of outcomes. We know this, right? We know this, and we know that since Middleton came back, he doesn't have to do as much, you know? So 5X from Giannis, it's only happened twice. Three times in the month of March. It's happened three times in the month of March. That's not great. And it's hard to predict, but it's, you know, if you want to know when it is, it's more or less he's going to do his best work in a pace-up game. That's That's really what it is. I don't think you... I don't count him out of going 5X against Sacramento, who's very poor against forwards in general. You know, they are bottom 10 against forwards, but they're not bottom 5 like the Knicks or the Lakers. So, you know, and even Portland. So it's hard to quantify what we can expect from Giannis. I think you have a 40-point floor here, though. So the advantage is that you have a lower ownership in this guy. And I think that if you're rostering Giannis, then you could take another 9 or 10K guy. A Jimmy, you could take a Kyrie, you could take a John Wall if you really like John Wall. You could even take a Jokic. It's very easy to do that. And sometimes those are some of my favorite rosters when I find two 10K guys that I really like who I think can go 5X. Okay. But it's small forward, pretty obvious, guys. It's LeBron. He's 11-1. He's got the highest total, highest pace in the game. High scorings allowed to the guard and the forward. So, okay, what does LeBron play? Well, it doesn't matter because they allow a ton of points there. He had 49 against them in early February in 33 minutes. They kind of blew Denver out when they were really struggling with injuries and had a back-to-back, road back-to-back. The return of Kevin Love really hasn't hurt him that much yet, to be honest. We're asking 55 from him in this game. 55 is an easy number here for LeBron, right? Point forwards have proven, like James Harden, have proven that Denver is really, really not that good at stopping them. You know, guys who are ball dominant forwards are not really having a hard time with Denver, to be completely honest. The only situation that's better for forwards on the slate is Denver against Cleveland, strangely enough. Cleveland, 21st in defensive efficiency. They're only better than Orlando. That's like they're marginally better than the Magic. Cleveland is not a good defensive team. The Clippers were up by 30 on the Lakers last night at halftime. Halftime. LeBron had to play 36 minutes against the Lakers. The Cavs defense is not good. Obviously, Cavs playoff defense will be better. But the Cavs defense is not that good. Denver is 29th in defensive efficiency, however. So this is a low defense, high scoring affair, massive total, massive pace. You know, LeBron is a road favorite with plus pace, high total. He's averaged 50. I think you can say you're going to get 50 out of LeBron. Now, it's not crazy that you get maybe some more, but it's also not crazy that you get 45, because if Kyrie and Kevin Love go off, then LeBron just doesn't have to do as much. So we'll see. At Denver, he's averaged 46 on career, 36 fantasy points. So I think you start at 46 and you flex that floor all the way up to you flex that range all the way up to 55 points. Okay, so if you're comparing LeBron, you get 2K savings over Wes or Russ. You know, it's not unlikely that LeBron does 50 here. You know, I don't think that there's a lot of risk in this situation. But I think that we do need to consider the upside and we need to consider the risk. If there was no Kevin Love, then I would say let's lock in LeBron. It's just not quite as – he's safe, but it's not quite as safe as we want it to be as it once was, you know? Okay, power forward, it's Jokic. Joker at home, baby. He's averaged 37 at home. Average 40 in the last five games. Not great. Plus matchup, solid matchup with Houston, though, twice over the weekend. We didn't see him break 50. He maxed out at 46 the other night. In fact, he's only broken 50 since the All-Star break twice. So that's not great. And this is the same situation we're seeing with guys like Giannis and John Wall. These 10K players who have these massive ceilings, who are in appealing situations, but they just can't get to 5K. They just can't get to 5K. And I think that's frustrating. He did have 47 against the Cavs in February at Cleveland. But I don't know. 10-3 is a high price tag. We're asking 52 points for him, and he's just not hitting it that often. He's not getting 52. I guess I don't know if it's he doesn't have to, or Mason Plumlee, or limited minutes. You know, it's not impossible that he goes for 52, but I think it's much more likely that he gets 45. I think the obvious reason that you pay for a guy like Jokic or Giannis in this situation is ownership leverage. Any slate that has Russ and LeBron, you're going to see those guys owned at 25 to 30%. Okay? People are going to be paying for those guys. People are going to be paying for Kyrie Irving. People are going to be paying for, you know, people will even pay for John Wall in this spot, to be honest with you. You know, so I think that you have ownership leverage if you go with Jokic, and you're basically saying, okay, if I'm in the 10K range, all or it's 9 to 10K price range, I need Jokic to outscore the following guys. I need Jokic to outscore John Wall, Kyrie Irving, Giannis, and Jimmy Butler. Can he do that? Yeah, he can. He can go for 50. He can go for 50. No question. But if you put him at a floor of 40 and then you say who's going to go, everybody at a floor of 40, you say who's going to go for 50, John Wall, Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, and Jokic, then you have to think about that. Jokic has the advantage of the fact that he's in the highest pace and highest total of the game of the slate. But Kyrie is in that same game. You know, I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting decision you have to make for yourself. Rudy Gobert, 8-8. Of course, I love Rudy Gobert just as a person. I think he's a great person. And I love him as a basketball player. He's getting the Knicks, and I don't really need to say much more about Rudy Gobert against the Knicks. DeAndre Jordan scored 30 points in 25 freaking minutes against them. Bottom five in DVP to the position. Terrible defensive efficiency. But this price is massive. 8-8 for Rudy Gobert is just frustratingly high in this situation. We want Rudy Gobert at 7.9, but he got the fact that he went for 52 against the Pacers and the fact that he's got the matchup bump against the Knicks, which everybody gets a matchup bump for these terrible defensive teams in price. It's achievable, but 44 points is a lot from Rudy Gobert. I think you're much more likely to see him in the 36 range. You know, it's also possible that the Knicks are just completely stifled and this game is just a blowout. So what happened to the Clippers? You know, this is the best defense in the league and the Knicks are in tank mode. Carmelo isn't playing a lot of minutes. They're asking Kuzminskis to play. They're getting Ron Baker out there. They're putting, what's his name? Not Brandon Jennings. Holiday. Justin Holiday is getting some run. I don't know. I mean, I think this is a game is a safe stay away unless we get Derek Favors and Joe Johnson out, in which case you're going to play Joey Ingles. Yes, Rudy could go 40. No question. But I don't think you need him here. You know, I think for that exact price point, give me Jimmy in a competitive game or Kyrie in the fastest, highest pace game of the night. Right? Right? You know, from a logic standpoint, I think that that's where you want to put that 9K. Anyway, Fantasy Grout, mid-price guys, filling in 5 to 8K range. Point guard is kind of thin today. But we got to talk a little bit about there's two point guards that are facing each other here in Kemba and Elf. Kemba's price dropping down 7-7. Nice. This is the price where we like Kemba Walker. And Elfrid Payton at 7-1. You know, they're getting each other, which neither is very good against the point guard. Bottom 10 in the league in DVP. And it's interesting. Kemba has averaged over a fantasy point per minute against Orlando, but he's never had to play more than 26 minutes against them. They've blown them out three times, twice by 30 and once by 20 this year. Now, the most recent one, I think it's interesting to note that what's important to notice is that was the last game before Vooch came back from the Achilles. I think Orlando is a better team with Vucevic on the floor. And we know that you can attack Charlotte in the front court. I mean, Dwight had a really nice game against them in limited minutes. But clearly Charlotte has Orlando's number in some way, shape, or form. So that concerns me. The thing about Kemba is that you're getting this nice price drop, and we could have no MKG. Now, if we get no MKG, I think you can fire up Kemba Walker in this situation. He, you know, and if you're like, well, he played so badly against Atlanta. Yeah, he did. He really shot. It was really that he shot poorly in the first half. I was on him, and I, of course, was just analyzing his attempts. He still took 16 shots. He just shot poorly and then didn't really have to. He didn't play more than 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. So he could have easily gotten to value if he just shoots a little bit better and maybe gotten a little extra run. But the question is, you know, does he get extra run in a game that, you know, where they could blow them out? So the thing that you have to think about Charlotte, though, is this. They're not out of it yet. They're only three games back. But I looked at their schedule. This is their last cupcake. This is it. If they want to win, they have to win this game. And then they have some really tough games coming up in the next week. They got Cleveland. They got Denver. They got Toronto. They got a couple road games against those teams. If Charlotte has an option to try and make a run here, which they're not done, they're not dead, they're going to win this game. So this is really like their last easy win. And then, like I said, they're going to have a rough stretch where they could struggle. Just under 40 for Kemba. That's not crazy. But Elf at 7-1 is due for a bounce back at some point. He had 30 against the Hornets and only 27 minutes in that last game where they blew him out, right? It's interesting. They actually had very similar scores. In fact, I think Elf outscored him by about a point or two in that situation, you know. And we just saw Dennis Schroeder, similar player to Elfrid Payton in my mind, right? Similar minutes, similar style of play, similar pace, ball handler. He went for 33 against the Hornets last game. I think what we have to do is watch Vegas in this one. If this line moves, and Fern, putting you on the job, Fern has been watching line movement like a freaking stock trader, which is really important because line movement tells you that Vegas is figuring something out. Now, if this line moves and it gets closer, or this line moves and it gets further apart, you know, then that's going to tell us something that we should know about this game. So let's watch Vegas on this one and figure out whether or not we want exposure to Kemba and Elf. But if you don't want to go Kemba or Elf, you could go down to DJ TJ McConnell or Rondo. Now, Rondo is chasey. And let me tell you why Rondo, I watched this game last night. You want to know why Rondo played so or had such good fantasy production? Dude hit threes. He hit five threes. Rajon Rondo does not hit five threes usually. That's an outlier performance. He's not going to hit five threes against the Pistons, guys. Okay, so let's take 15 points off of that Rondo score last night. Let's all go ahead and tuck our pants because it's just not going to happen again. sorry for the tuck analogy there. If you take 15 points, it's a much more Rajon Rondo game, okay? But let's give him 1-3. Let's be generous. 12, 5, and 8. Okay? Very Rajon Rondo. 12, 5, and 8. That's 12 fewer fantasy points. He ends up with 34. Still an excellent game and absolutely hitting value in this sad situation. But he didn't play last time against Detroit. He didn't play in that game. He didn't see the floor at all. But I think that was because he was injured. However, if you know both the Pistons and the Bulls, you know, the Bulls could literally swap places with the Pistons here if they win this game. So both the Pistons and the Bulls want this game. You know he's going to get the minutes to try and give them a shot. You know, so Rondo is definitely in play for full minutes, and we know we attack the point guard at Detroit. Ask Spencer Dinwiddie. God, what a terrible name. Poor kid. But TJ McConnell also really, really, really safe minutes, really safe production. He's getting Russell Westbrook defense. Honestly, you could go DJ, TJ, and Rondo and just say take my 5x and move on. Take my 25 points and move on. Get on out of here. Shooting guard, we got four guys. And I'm going to go down the line from most expensive to cheapest. Beal at 7-7. It's a good bounce back spot for Brad Beal. He's due for some regression. Atlanta is allowing massive scoring to the guards and the highest peripherals and three-point rate on the slate. He's priced down 37 fantasy points. Not a crazy number for Beal, but it is a high number compared to what he's been doing in the normal 30-point range, basically, lately. I think if you can fit him in here, he's 100% a GPP play. Like, Bradley Beal in this situation, he's not quite as cash viable as he was when he was like 7-4, 7-5, and you were just loving it. But like 7-7 is not crazy for him. You know, it's the same as like rostering Clay. You know what you're going to get. You know you're going to get 30 points. Just how much above 30 are you going to get? You know, it's the same. It's the same thing. So I like Beal in this spot. You know, the matchup makes sense. Hopefully we don't get a blowout. If you don't get a blowout, then this is a great game for Beal. But if it's a blowout, this is not a great game. Oladipo and Gary Harris. These guys are basically the same player. Okay? So similar. Like, I started writing about Oladipo, and I was like, am I writing about Gary Harris, or am I writing about Victor Oladipo? 6K, 35 minutes, good matchups against positionally a DVP, high tame total, great DVP situation, and 100% similar roles and similar prices. Okay? Very same. I think they're the same price. I think they're the same exact price. Let me check this. Hold on. Yeah, same price. Same price. Victor Oladipo and Gary Harris, man. 30 points pretty much on the regular for these two clowns. You know, always basically getting you somewhere in like the 17, 6, and 4 range, or 15, maybe 20 points if they're feeling real saucy. You know, I mean, it's just, it's they are as safe as safe can be. Now, tiebreaker. Who do you go with, Sean? I'm gonna side with Gary. And the reason that I'm gonna side with Gary is that the game has a higher total, it has a tighter spread, and there's less blowout risk, and it has better pace. That's why Gary gets the nod in that situation. You know, Depot may not have to do much if Russ goes ham on these guys in the first half and they're down by 11 at the half, and you know, Oladipo only has 14 fantasy points, and he comes back and he plays the third quarter and he gets you, you know, eight more, and he ends up with 24. That's a very reasonable scenario for Oladipo here. Like, don't be blown away if Oladipo comes away with 23 fantasy points tonight and only, you know, in 28 minutes. That's not crazy. But I think Gary is 30 plus minutes in a competitive game here. They're going to need him to play well in order to stay in this one. The last one is the sad Frenchman, the man bun, Fournier. He's still viable, man. I talk about Fournier on every freaking show, no question. Fournier and Tim Hardaway Jr. for sure. Tim Hardaway Jr. getting good run, no question. He was absolutely a letdown city, even in 33 minutes, an absolute disaster against the Hornets. But, you know, regression is real, man. Regression is real. Him and Fournier priced at the almost the exact same 5-5 and 5-4. You like both of them in this situation. You know, Fournier has decent matchup history with the Hornets. You know, and he only had 19 points in that blowout game, but he only played 25 minutes. Okay, so let's add, you know, let's knock that up a couple points. He's got 28. You know, if he gets eight more minutes in that game down the stretch, that's what he did, 28 against Philadelphia. They profile very, very similarly. So, you know, Fournier, Hardaway Jr., you could go there, no question. You know, I don't know. You could go. The value is not as good as last night. Like, last night's shooting guard value was insane. You could pretty much just end up with any price below 4-5, and you're like, well, there he is, that guy, I like him. You know, not all of them performed, but all of them were viable. So we'll talk about value down the road here. Okay, so small forward, two guys, Paul George at 8'3", and Chris Middleton at 6'4". I like Paul George in this spot because basically only if this game stays competitive, it's because Paul George is scoring. So, you know, when he's just like, he's a usage hog right now. He is taking so many attempts and God, that guy can shoot. God, he shoots so well. Like he just has such a nice shot, guys. Like watch some Paul George, like shooting highlights. The dude just has a stroke. It's like Kobe, you know? I mean, he's not Kobe. I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong. He's not Kobe, but he can really shoot. DeRozan, though, he's got a little Kobe in him. Maybe if you smashed Paul George and DeRozan together, you gave DeRozan Paul George's three-pointer and his post-game, and you gave Paul George DeRozan's finishing ability, then we would have some Kobe. That's Kobe. Miss Kobe. I miss prime Kobe. I don't miss old man. I don't know if my body works Kobe. Anyway, Paul George at 8'3". He's, like I said, usage hog. Boston is very average against the small forward. I just think that it's a high price for him. Asking him to go over some 40 is something he does. But he's just as likely to get you 32. He is just like all those other 10K studs where he's just as likely to go 4X as he is to go 5X. You know, so for sheer point stability and floor, I think you can say 30, 32 is very much his floor. And he could go up to 43 and hit you 5X. But you can't expect him to go for 52 like he did against Charlotte. That was an outlier. He got super hot and just was firing. You know, so 35 points, let's say that's where he ends up. Dead between, you know, dead like almost between anywhere between 30 and 40 here. That's not value. That's not 5X. You know, so is he a good investment? I don't know if he is. I don't think he is. However, Chris Middleton, same range of outcomes, 30 plus points, is priced at 6'4". $2,000 cheaper. He just had a great game last night, proved that he still has that stroke. He's got 35 point potential here, and at 6'4", that's 6X from Middleton. So give me some Middleton. He's just as likely. He comes $2,000 cheaper to, you know, and he could easily exceed value in this situation. Sacramento really struggling with wings right now. We saw what they allow from a shooting percentage standpoint. And Chris Middleton has a great stroke too. Dude can shoot. And he's taking plenty of shots. I think what I like is I watched that Milwaukee Lakers game the other night, and Kidd has him and Giannis on separate rotations so they can each be ball dominant, which is really nice. You get a little bit of separate rotation. He kind of staggers them. He plays them at the same time in the first half, but he also staggers them. So he'll take out Middleton with like 4 minutes to go in the quarter, and then put Middleton in at the first 4 minutes of the second. And then won't put Giannis back in until, you know, the eighth minute. So they get these staggered minutes where they get minutes where they're alone and they can be running the pick and roll there. It's a great situation for him, though, really. I mean, it is. And I like his price a lot. So I prefer Chris Middleton over Paul George quite a bit there. Power forward, a couple different options here. Super Dario, of course, I got to talk about my man Super Dario at 7'6". And I got to talk about Marv. Let's talk about Marv. Great movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let's talk about Bob. Or what about Bob? Never mind. I lost that thread there. Let's talk about Marv, though, okay? 7 of the last 10, he's been above 30 points. 4 of those games, 4 of those 7, above 40. He had 45 against Orlando, one of the worst rebounding teams in the league. Terrible against the 4. He's still priced below 7K. You can easily get out of 6X out of Marv. Don't sleep on Marv. Let's show Marv some love here, guys. Let's go Marv, okay? No reason to fade the man, especially if MKG is out. Give me some Marv. Now, Dario, Price down. Very nice. $300 price drop. Really love some discounted Dario. He got in foul trouble. Now, I lamented this earlier in the game, or excuse me, in the week. My Dario tilt was real because he missed overtime. He missed everything. Could have been awesome. He would have made me a ton of money. Anyway, he's very much in play. I love his price, right? Guy has a 40-point ceiling, basically a 30-point floor. Here's the same numbers on Marv, very similar to the numbers on Marv. 7 of the last 10 above 30 points, 6 of those above 35. I mean, it's just like the two of them are just an absolute animals right now, and they're playing extremely well. And they're both in pretty good situations. You know, Dario's situation isn't as good, but the power forward spot against the Thunder is not, you know, it's not amazing. The Thunder, I think, are average. Dead middle of the, they're above average. They're above average to the power forward. They are above average. So, but interestingly enough, it's kind of very similar to like the Bulls or the 76ers. So not anything amazing there. But they're above average. The Thunder. That's who it is. Now, couple sleepy candidates that I want to talk about. Okay? Frank is getting minutes. Frank is back. Frank the Tank, we thought he was dead. We thought he was out for the season. He said, no, on Wisconsin, I'm back. He's playing like a machine. He got 36 minutes last game. He got 30 minutes against Washington. He's back in good form. He's been flirting with 30 points in both of those lately. I love him in this spot. I think you go Frank. If you can't fit in Marv, you know, go down to Frank. He's just Marv Jr., Marv Light. And then here's a sneaky play. Kevin Love. I think we remember this guy. Kevin is his name. He's tall, gangly gentleman. He shoots three-pointers very well and loves outlet passes. Dude, K-Love is back. Double-digit points and double-digit rebounds against the Lakers. Flirted with the double-double against Utah, but only had 20 minutes. 26 minutes against the Lakers, he goes for 21 and 15. Well, guess who profiles very, very similar to the Lakers? The Nuggets. I think we do need to keep an eye on restrictions. If you get any weird Kevin Love news or anything like that, then, you know, but that's GPP. I don't think people feel comfortable playing him yet. So K Love uses very sneaky GPP play. So that's kind of it. You know, it is kind of a good night to spend up. I mean, yes, you got Willie Cauley-Stein and Rashawn Holmes. That's a high price for Rashawn Holmes, by the way, against Steven Adams. It's kind of a high price for him. Yes, he could easily get 30, but this is not going to be the Orlando game, guys. 30 is very, very viable though for him. Rashawn Holmes is just friend of the pod. Last one. Cantor. Why wouldn't we play Cantor against one of the worst front courts in the league at 5'5"? You ask him to get above 25 points, he can do that. And Tobias Harris at 5'4", also in play. So that's kind of where you want to be, I think. I don't know necessarily that you need to dive too deep into the value bin, although we should expect Bobby Portis to get some good minutes because of no Rolo and possibly no what's his name? Cristiano Feliciano. And if you want to maybe play some King Joffrey too, you could get some King Joffrey in there. All right, let's go down to the speaking of King Joffrey, let's go down to the bargain basement and let's talk about some of these value plays that we got at point guard. You know, I said the kind of the lowest that I want to go is Rondo and DJ TJ. And I kind of am going to stick to that. However, I do think that you have possibly one of the Detroit gentlemen in play, Reggie or Ish. I have no idea. Reggie had a really nice game against Chicago last time. And maybe because it was a back-to-back and it was Brooklyn, Van Gundy let Ish run. And maybe Reggie will get the minutes. I have no idea. If you know, if you have a some way to predict what he is going to do, Van Gundy, then I would love to hear from you. You know, the thing is that he has a lot of scoring upside, and especially against Chicago, he scored really well. And he could take advantage of that matchup. But the problem, the difference is that it's, I mean, I guess the difference is that you're not getting this combination of like Jerian Grant and Cameron Payne, which is when the Bulls point guard defense was really, really bad, but you can attack them at the point guard. So that's about as low as you want to go in that. Now at shooting guard, after you go down from Fournier, I think that you probably have some TLC in play. Timothy Loa-Cabarrot, you know, he just has such a gross floor, you know, but the minutes are there. I just don't know that you need him. It's not really that appealing. Now, if we get no Ben McLemore, no Malachi Richardson, then I think you could absolutely fire up some Buddy Hield. I absolutely think that we can fire up some, where is he? Maybe some Rodney Hood. But he's a game time, you know, we're going to keep an eye on that knee. And I don't know necessarily how much they're going to force him out there the way that knee has been in pain recently, but the Knicks is definitely a plus matchup. I just don't think they're going to force him out there. So be careful what you wish for with Rodney Hood. You know, but then I think, okay, so the last two guys that are in play are JR and Iman Shumpert, who are both 3-6, who are basically splitting minutes, and basically neither of whom is getting above 20 points. So, I don't know. Kind of a nice night to pay into the middle tier here of shooting guard. Now, at small forward, you have a couple more viable options at small forward. You know, Jingles possibly in play. He gets run, and if they get a blowout, then Jingles will get even more run. I mean, even with Rodney Hood back, let's look at this. He scored 21 points, even with Rodney Hood back. Everybody got off of him. Like, oh no, he's not going to get any minutes. He scored 21 points because he's on the second unit. That's the thing that we got to remember is he plays the second unit, and he plays a lot. Even when Hood is in the lineup, he still plays. And his price is pretty reasonable. So, you know, against the Knicks, yeah. The other one is, okay, of course, Taurean Prince and, of course, Thabo Sefolosha. Thabo got a lot more minutes and a lot more usage the other day than Prince. So, you know, Thabo's seemingly he's the veteran here in this situation. They're going to give him more minutes than Prince. You know, but Prince, of course, is still in play, still showing a good usage, good minutes. You know, with no Bazemore, he's getting 30 minutes out there pretty consistently. It's just a question of how much he does, you know, in the peripherals, because he's really kind of only scoring about 10 points. So how many rebounds, how many steals, that kind of thing does he get? If we get no Derek Favors, then Joe Johnson, obviously still in play, but he's kind of, the minutes are very limited in this one. The minutes aren't limited. It's just the production is limited because he's on the first unit with Hayward and Gobert and Hood. You know, so they don't really need him to do a ton. So that's kind of it down there, you know. Couple options, but I think we'll keep our ears open. Paul Zipser, by the way, on the starting unit for the Bulls right now. And playing well. 27 fantasy points against Toronto. You know, played kind of poorly against Detroit, but it's scoring a little bit more, and they'll probably need good Zipser minutes tomorrow night because he's pretty long. But I don't know. We'll see. Okay, now power forward. We have there's a couple options down here as well. You have to consider Nico. You have to consider Ersan. You have to consider Taj against one of the worst rebounding teams in the league. I mean, Taj Gibson, 4,200. He, you know, 20 minutes of Taj Gibson against the worst rebounding team in the league could easily be 10-10. It's Taj. You know, he knows how to rebound pretty well. And Bobby Portis is going to be in play because they just are, there are no bigs in Chicago because of the injury situation. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. Of course, Juancho in play. Juancho will be in play only if we get no Gallinari and no Chandler. That at center though, let's look at Joffrey. Let's look at King Joffrey for sure. He's probably going to get quite a bit of run. You know, he got a couple minutes in the end of that game last night. But not really a very sexy play. You know, really not going to do too much for you. You know, last time he got any decent run was against Orlando when he was in Chicago, and he had 22 fantasy points in 29 minutes. You take that at 3-5, 100%. But I think that's about as low as we're going to go. That's really it. You know, Steven Adams is priced way too cheaply for what he's got as far as a matchup. 4,900 against the Philadelphia? Yeah, give me that. Give me that. Anyway, all right, let's move on to lineup lock. This is where I build you guys out a cash core lineup, a starting place. My recommendation is always pivot. My recommendation is make changes. My recommendation is, you know, figure out what's right for you in this situation. Does this work for me? You know, and use the cheat sheet. If you're using the cheat sheet, use the cheat sheet, make some changes, do your own research, you know, and then update from there. Okay, so I normally would start with a cash core lineup, you know, kind of my core plays. But I just came across this this Cleveland-Denver game stack lineup that is just absolutely really nice and really, really pretty sweet. So anybody who's interested in a little bit of a Cleveland-Denver game stack lineup, take note. Here it is. Kyrie and Jameer. By the way, I forgot to talk about Jameer Nelson. I don't know how I missed him. Great situation at home, getting Kyrie Irving defense, 5,200. Great situation for Jameer Nelson. Gary Harris and J.R. Smith, LeBron, Chris Middleton, Nikola Jokic, Ersan Ilyasova, and Joffrey LeVert. Whoa. So I have Kyrie, LeBron, and J.R. And then on the Denver side, I have Jameer, Gary, and Nikola. That's pretty sexy. Now, obviously, that's not really my cash, like, core lineup in this situation. All right, that's not really where I'm at with my cash lineup tonight. But I think that that is a viable GPP lineup situation that I wanted to roll out for you guys. But let's look at the cash lineup. So at the core of what I'm doing today, it's pretty much Gary Harris, Chris Middleton, Marvin Williams, and Steven Adams. Okay? That's kind of my core. Those are my core four guys. Really, really like them to start with. And the really nice thing is that, you know, we've got starters and plus situations in all of those. 30 minutes for all of them. Good situations, good prices where they can exceed value. You know, it's just, when you have those guys, those are the kinds of guys you want to lock in for cash games, you know, 30 plus point candidates in all four. So Harris, Middleton, Marv, and Adams are my favorite cash game plays here. And this lineup I built around LeBron. Okay. So I went TJ McConnell, Rajon Rondo, Gary Harris, Victor Oladipo, Chris Middleton, LeBron, Marvin Williams, Dario Saric, and Steven Adams. Pretty balanced, really. I mean, really, really, really nice balanced approach there. Really feel good. All starters in this whole lineup, all starters, all getting 30 minutes, all in decent situations given their matchups, pace, etc. You know, I've got some good exposure to competitive games. You know, I've got some good exposure to, you know, meaningful games. I could, you know, have, I could stand to maybe have a little bit more exposure to that Denver game. You know, maybe if I could get, I can easily get, you know, onto Jameer Nelson, for example. That's not bad. I can get onto Jameer Nelson there. You know, and if I wanted to get to Kyrie, I could probably do that if I took some more value down at power forward. And, you know, the other way that I can do this is you can get off of LeBron. And when you get off of LeBron, you can take, you know, a slightly, you know, slightly more, even more balanced approach, but kind of have a two stud approach that where they're both in, you know, really solid situations, and swap in Jimmy and Kyrie for LeBron and TJ McConnell. And then that leaves you with, you need to make one decision at for one of your shooting guards. So you need to kind of, you know, pay down at one of your shooting guard spots. And you can honestly just basically then just go down and split the difference and go with Fournier and Hardaway Jr. at shooting guard. So that lineup looks like this. It's Kyrie, Rondo, Fournier, Hardaway Jr., Middleton, Butler, Marv, Dario, Steven Adams. So I like that a lot. I think that's a really solid lineup as well. And then, of course, you know, if you want to go with Russ, then you, okay, you get off of Jimmy, you get off of Kyrie, you plug in Russ, and then you have 5,100 left at your other small forward position, you know, and it, that's not really a great number, but, you know, maybe you can fiddle with it and try to maybe get yourself onto, you know, or get, go down, just go down to Thabo Sefolosha. And then, yeah, that's what you do. You go down to Thabo Sefolosha and then you can upgrade upgrade at shooting guard, for example. So, and by the way, there is a viable lineup in which you can get Russ and Bron in the same lineup. There's also a viable lineup where you can get Jimmy and LeBron in the same lineup. You know, there, it's viable. If you want to go a two stud approach, you absolutely can. And you can go, with the Joker as well, man. He gets in there too. So, or Giannis, really good price for Giannis. I mean, talk about low ownership, dude. The low ownership on Giannis is going to be so sexy as a late hammer. So don't, if that turns you on, which I know it turns me on every once in a while, some Giannis, then go for it. Line construction is really interesting. So many viable guys in the 5K range today. So, you know, lots of really good options there. Hopefully you guys get back in the green. Check out the Patreon page, Patreon, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Check out the cheat sheet. Thank you to the patrons. Means a lot. I know it's, hey, it's $10, man, but God, it means the world to me and Josh and the guys who are trying to figure out how to make this thing work. So I appreciate it. Good luck tonight in your contest. And hey, feel free to hit me up on Twitter with your questions, Josh, Spectre, anybody, and subscribe to the cheat sheet, man. It's helping people. It's helping people. It's easy to read. It's a quick reference. It's a good starting place. So good luck tonight in your contest, and I will see you guys tomorrow.